I thought, this is weird. Why am I feeling better? I screwed everything up. But with repentance comes a little bit of release or relief, you could say. So I got up and I was going to go to bed. Then I sensed, just go back to your textbook. I said, okay, like just like you get a prompt and like maybe you want a glass of milk or something. So I went back to my textbook. I started looking. I look at the first page. Didn't make any sense. Didn't know it. Next page, and all of a sudden, middle of the paragraph, this one paragraph, I knew what that meant. So I flipped the next page, and I know what that means. And as I was flipping through those pages in 20 minutes, I knew bits and pieces of information that made no sense, that didn't go together, didn't jive or nothing, but I knew what it meant, so okay, whatever. So then I went to bed, got up next day, went to school, went to write the exam. I thought, okay, be a man, you dug this hole, you got to face it, whatever, right? So I go and get the test, and the first page, you put your name on, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I flip the paper over, first question, I know that one. Next question, I know that one too. And I went through, I got over 90 to 95% in that exam. This is a true story. And you want to talk about a happy camper? I was happy, man. I ran in that door, and my buddies, we host the party there, and say, yeah! I got to the door, let's go party! And as soon as I said that, I was looking at the door, I wasn't seeing them anymore. I was watching an instant replay of what happened the night before. And it wasn't this view, it was this view, what God saw. And there was my bedroom, there was my carpet, there was my bed, there's me on the floor. If you help me right now, I'll do anything. I said, ooh. I did say that, didn't I? I said, oh. So you guys, you go ahead, don't worry, it's okay, I'm going to... So. I kind of backed off, and then I went to work that night, and I started telling everybody I had this miracle and how happy I was, and they all heard. And this was on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday came around, and there was a young guy there, a young black guy. Not that he just could have been a white guy, but he was black. So I'm not prejudiced. Or it sounds to me weird saying that. But anyway, so anyway, he was there, and he kind of stayed behind. Like we started at 4, we'd have break at 7, and then he said, listen, he stayed behind. He started asking me questions. He goes, listen, so I heard you had an encounter with God. I said, I guess. Somebody help me. He said, are you a Christian? I said, I don't know. And he said, well, have you ever said the sinner's prayer? I said, no, I haven't. Why? So he grabs my hand. We say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please come into my heart and my life. I surrender to you. You are God. I believe you're alive and real, and forgive me in Jesus' name. Something simple like that. So he said that. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. No big deal. So then I end up... I went back to work, and then the next day I went to school. And on Friday, we finished at 11 o'clock. So at 11 o'clock, we'd go straight to the bar. But now I said, you guys go ahead. I'm going to go study in the library. So they were like, what's he studying? What's going on? So anyway, I went in the library. So I started making choices that were better choices, I guess you could say. And anyway, I was in the library studying, and all of a sudden, something weird. It was like, this is in November, and I felt this pinch. Now, I'd never heard anybody else share this. I don't know if it happens to them or not, but I felt a pinch, like something pinched me. I thought, what's that, a mosquito? No, it's November, no big deal. So I put my clothes on, I go outside, I get on the bus, and once I got on the bus to go home, everything started to change. Inside of my stomach, this feeling rose of liquid love started to grow and grow and grow and just overpower me. And I was like, oh, wow. And I smoked a lot of good dope up to that point, but nothing could touch this. Like they say, there's no high like the Most High. God is the best. And I was sitting there just loving, and I was loving on these two guys. I didn't know who they were, but I loved them so much. They could have came over and beat me and chopped me and hit me and kicked me. And I was like, I love you. Jesus loves you, you know? And anyway, I read later on that perfect love casts out fear because sin. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. So it was like, I experienced it. Well, thank you, Jesus. And I got home, and it was greater and greater. And then I hadn't eaten much, so it was getting stronger. And then I finally had, I thought, I better eat something. I ate something, and it stopped. I thought, oh, no, don't stop. This is so good. So I went to bed. And when I got up the next day, the next morning, everything was different. Everything was different. And the Bible talks about being born again. I had that experience. Like the carpet looked different. The room looked different. It looked temporary. The road looked temporary. Everything looked temporary. And I knew in my heart that if I went outside and got hit by a car or a bus, I'm not worried about it. I know where I'm going. And inside, this was the beautiful thing. Because I was such a mess for smoking so much crap. I was so clean. To take a breath It felt so clean. Like I tell some people, it's kind of like if you ever tried a menthol cigarette, if you ever smoked cigarettes, because it's kind of cool, but clean and pure. And I had such peace in my mind. I'm like, oh, just to sit there and just to breathe and think was the best. I thought, why didn't I do this sooner? You know, it didn't cost me nothing. Here I am smoking dope and doing this and that, and this is so beautiful. So that was my first encounter with God on the second, on a deep, deep level, I guess you could say. And then I opened the Bible, and God started to speak to me in sentences. Some words got bigger than others, and he started talking to me like, whoa, you are alive, you are real. I want to get as close as I can to you. So I went to some churches in the neighborhood, and there was nothing against Seventh-day Adventist churches, but I went there, and the guy was speaking. He was really intelligent, but he was a smart guy, but it wasn't scripture. It wasn't doing nothing for me. So I had to go here or there with Catholic Church. And so finally, I prayed. I said, God, where do you want me to go? I want to go and get as close as I can to you. So as I was praying, I saw this little image, like a little house on the prairie kind of church. Very simple, humble church. And I didn't know where it was. I was living by the airport, Dixon and Kipling, so it wasn't around here. A month later, I went home to Thunder Bay in December. And Thunder Bay is like 900 miles away, if you don't know where it is. Anyway, I'm driving down Balsam Street. My head blows up. Oh, there's that church I saw in that little picture in my mind. Okay, I got to go there. So I run outside, and I had all these questions. Who wrote the Bible? How do I know it's true? What about homosexuals? What about this? What about that? And I wanted real answers. I didn't want somebody's opinion. I want scripture. And this guy comes out, and I asked him these questions. I thought, he's going to run to his Bible. He's like, boom, boom, boom. He's just quoting these scriptures at me. I'm like, oh, that feels good. Oh, yeah, okay, oh, yeah. And I was like, okay, this is the place, right on, thank you. So I went in there, got water baptized. But they had a big emphasis on speaking in tongues. They said that their evidence, the Bible shows the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. And I'm like, well, I don't speak in tongues. I don't know. So I was trying, and I'm fighting, and if something was coming on my tongue, and I'm fighting. And I've come to learn it's one of the easiest things. And it's funny how God chose tongues, because he speaks and creates life and death in the power of the tongue. So this is the thing that needs to be surrendered to him. And when all you have to do is not use your mind. It's just your spirit connects with your tongue, and away you go. Very simple. But at the time, I didn't know. So I was trying and trying and trying. It wasn't working. And I was going to the church, and their church was very far. It was at Greenwood Subway. How much time do I got, by the way? A few more minutes? Okay, I'll speed it up a little bit. Sorry. Okay, well, I can stretch a little bit. Okay. So anyway, one other very important thing too is this. When you go to a church, it's very wise to find something that's not too far from where you live. Because it'll be so easy to make an excuse, to not go, right? And I was by the airport. This church was at Greenwood Subway, which is like Danforth, far, far east. So I went this one day. The Holy Spirit led me there. And up to that point, I thought I was serving God. So I'd go on the bus. Repent, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins. You have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise unto you, your children, all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I'm preaching, and they all run away from me. And I just can thank God now that nobody, like I was telling Pastor yesterday, no one slugged me. Because somebody should have slugged me, because I was a real goof. I thought I was serving God. That's how you serve God, right? But all he really wanted me to do was go back to the people that I knew, that I partied with, and just show love. Walk in love. Oh, I'm not that same person anymore. And let your light shine. Very simple. But I thought it was this big thing. And they may laugh at you. I'll warn you, they may laugh at you. And the key is not to laugh with them. You know what I mean? But not to be ashamed. But you're serving God. Remember that they may laugh. They may put you down. They may do whatever. But hey, God is good, and he'll bring you through it. So anyway, all this went on. And where am I going to go next here? Oh, yeah. So I got to the church. And the Holy Spirit led me there, and the pastor was talking. I think I told you the story about this. I'm repeating this, but he was talking. He had his back, so I snuck in, and I went to the back, long, skinny church. I got to the back. I'm hiding behind these guys, and he was talking. All of a sudden, he stops talking. Dead silence. 10 seconds, 20 seconds, a minute passes. All of a sudden, he starts speaking again. And he starts saying stuff, and every word out of his mouth was right towards me. Who told you to go on the bus? I never told you that. That's not my will for your life. I'm like, how does this guy know this stuff? How is he? And I was freaking out. But you see, that's when I learned it's very important to go where God is. Not just the church. Not just the religion. You got to go where God is and hear. So God can share, give the food, share. And also, when you go there, he knows he's going to show up, as long as you show up. And part of that message may affect you or someone else, and you can learn and grow from that, right? So very important. So anyway, I felt convicted. He said, come to the front. I was too chicken. So I just sat there crying at the back, and I escaped. And that was my first, third serious encounter. But anyway, so next goes on. Let me see, where am I here? No, I'm a little bit scattered here. So where's number seven? Number seven. There is no number seven. Okay. So from there, so the bottom line was, I kept trying to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit on myself and by myself. And it's not a good thing to be on your own when you're a little baby Christian. You want to be by someone who's more mature, who can guide you, lead you, direct you, and help you not be deceived. Because the enemy is there, and he's trying to, he doesn't want you to win or succeed at anything, right? He'll try to, one way or another, he'll try to confuse you. So as it turned out, I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost by myself. I didn't know who I was in Christ, which is one of the most important things. Knowing who you are in Christ. Because in Christ, you have the victory. You can't fight Satan or any demon on your own. It's got to be in him. And the blood of Jesus, how the blood has paid the price for everything, right? Sorry, I'm looking at you guys. Not that you're young. I just keep looking at you guys like you. Anyway, so as it went on, they kept saying I didn't speak in tongues. So, and I was getting frustrated. I said, Lord, you made it too hard. I can't do this. I give up. I quit. So I packed up, I stopped going to church, and I got warned. People called me on the phone. They said, you can't go out in the world. Satan's not going to leave you alone. Whatever. So I left, and I was rebellious, and I thought, I don't understand it. And as it turned out, when I turned away from God, my life went straight downhill, kind of, I guess you could say. Things got worse. I started drinking again. I drank twice as much as I used to. I smoked twice as much as I used to. The enemy came and drove me nuts every day. And the Bible says rebellion is as witchcraft. And I opened the door. I was under his protection. So he'd come, and I was fist fighting demons during the day, and they'd come drive me nuts. And I'm like, and I was having a real hard time. And but they wanted me sometimes to renounce Jesus. I said, nope, I could never do that. Because in my heart, even though I didn't know who I was and the authority I had, I still in my heart knew who Jesus was. So I said, no, I can't do that, can't do that. And kept struggling, and then thank God for my wife. And she helped straighten me out. She wanted to go back to church, and she wanted me to become more responsible, because at that time I got pretty wild. I was, for a while, I was living on the streets for a little bit, and she helped me. She wanted somebody who was responsible, and God used her to help me turn my life around, and I'm really thankful for that. And that wasn't even in my notes. That's something that's the truth. So thank you, Jackie, for that. And every man needs a good woman. Just so you know that too. Every man needs a good woman, right? He knows he's got one, and you know what I mean? But anyway, so this was going on. Things started to get a little better. And it turned out that I hit rock bottom. Rock bottom in 2002. My mom, my stepfather both passed away, and my uncle within a month and a half. And my way of dealing with their situation was smoke more dope. So I just smoked more. And turned out one day, all of a sudden, I could start feeling crap in my lungs every breath I had, and I got scared because I had to smoke. I couldn't stop. And that's why I'm so worried about legalizing marijuana, because these people don't know how addictive it is. For me, it was. But anyway, that night, I said, God, I want to quit, but I can't. Please help me. And I didn't think he would help me, because I turned on him for 18 years. I said, and you know what? I got up the next day, and I looked at the bag of weed. And it was like looking at an old sock. I took the weed, threw it in the garbage can. I took the other stuff I had, threw it in the garbage cans, and he didn't take the Miller Genuine Draft away and the beer in the fridge. I had to deal with that one. But he helped me with the things I needed the most help. And I just thanked him so much. And then the weirdest thing happened, because I was working in my basement trying to renovate it, because I do drywall and framing. And I got to the top of my stairs. And once you make things right, once his spirit cleans out and you repent, and his spirit is there again leading, I couldn't go down my stairs because on the bottom of my stairs there was a little baker scaffold, a little scaffolding that said Maxan drywall. And I didn't tell them when I took it. When I left, when we left in a hurry to, it was all beat up scaffold. It wasn't worth anything, but I just took it. I didn't ask them. But see, God knows I didn't ask. And he would not let me go down those stairs. And inside, no peace. Like, oh Lord, please. You were feeling so good. I was like, that's not yours. That's not yours. I'm like, but okay, go to the phone. I call up long distance. And I tell this to a lot of Muslims because they don't understand that the Holy Spirit is not a game. This is real. And I had to phone long distance to Toronto, 1,000 miles away, say, hi, Gabe, St. Dennis, it's Howard. Oh, MacGyver, how you doing? He's calling me MacGyver. How you doing? Da, da, da. I said, listen, I took your scaffold. I'm sorry. You took my scaffold. Why'd you take my scaffold? I would have given it to you. Oh, well, at least you're honest. You called me. Send me $150. Call it even. So I had to send him money. And then as I went downstairs, bing, bing, all these tools started that I had taken over the years. And I had to gather them all up, phone the guys, call them. She was there. I mean, 1,000 miles away. And let them know. So when we got back to Toronto, it was kind of funny because we show up at this office one day and there's this young kid there. And I walk in, I go, I drop all these tools off. He's looking at me. I said, sorry, I took these a long time ago. I'm sorry. Yeah, these are yours. And I walk out. And he's like, what's this guy on? Well, that same company I'm working for right now, which is a small world. God is amazing that way, right? But...